Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're cruising on a Thursday, hour one in the books, hour two ahead as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, presented as always by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you in about 30 minutes. We'll have former NFL offensive lineman turned analyst Jeff Schwartz join the program. We'll get into a little college football, a little NFL action, especially since he's really good on the betting side of things too. His reaction to the news of the comeback player of the year market actually having a little bit of criteria to it where we didn't know in years past what it was really for. Also at the end of the show, think if we have time, we might actually get into some week one lines that have taken some of the most bets. But where I want to start, Michael, is a topic that we broached a little bit in hour one, but didn't really get to fully dive into. And I do want your opinion on the Broncos ultimately bringing in David Shaw, former Stanford head coach, as a senior personnel executive. First and foremost, what exactly is that role? What can we expect from Shaw? And is that a good move for Sean Payton bringing him into Denver?
Well, obviously, David has always loved the draft. He's been involved with it. He's worked at NFL Network on draft coverage as when he was the head coach at Stanford. Plus, he's, you know, knows the coaching. He's an offensive guy. He's been schooled in the West Coast offense, starting with Jim Harbaugh when they both were together at San Diego, was in Philadelphia when I was there with John Gruden and, of course, Sean Payton, too. So he knows that offense. He knows the running game. So he gives Sean, I think what he gives Sean is a truth teller, because if you know David like I know David, David's not one to hold his tongue or to wait and see what someone else thinks. David's an opinionated person, which is a good thing, with strong convictions, and you're not going to back them down. And I think oftentimes in organizations, especially when you have somebody like Sean who's running everything and has all the power and has all the clout and all the money, that people are scared to tell him the truth because it doesn't do their career very much good. So you need a truth teller in your building. And I think David provides that for Sean. It also provides a way to where he can understand players and plays, right? Oftentimes we get into a situation where we get, I forgot to turn my ringer off, Stormy, I apologize. Where we get into a situation where we're just trying to tell the boss what he wants to hear and just get through the meeting, when that doesn't really do you much good. And I know George Payton's there and he still has the title of general manager, but George within the building can't have much clout considering the fact that he recommended the trade for Russell Wilson. He picked Nathaniel Hackett and then he signed the contract. I mean, he's 0-for-3 on three things you can't be 0-for-3 on and still keep a job. Right. I mean, one of those can get you fired. He's still employed. I don't know. Maybe because he still has a contract. But look, I think the relationship between the two guys will work. And I think David will tell Sean what he needs to hear.
And what I think is most interesting about that, too, is that Sean Payton, because of the place that he's at his career where he is established, he's done this for a long time, he doesn't need a yes man. He wants somebody that will be that, as you termed it, a truth teller, that will be honest in the room in those situations. I think it's very valuable, and I think somebody like him will be great for just another voice in the ears of a young quarterback and Bo Nix, who's trying to figure it out at the NFL level. Shaw, I know, ended his tenure at Stanford on a low note, but still the winningest coach in Stanford history, the only coach ever to win four Coach of the Year honors in the Pac-12, RIP, which again, we'll talk about a little, former Pac-12, now Big Ten, a little bit later on in the show. But very interesting. The Denver Broncos, by the way, their season one win total this year, just 5.5. They're an 18-1 shot in the AFC West, 7-1 the price for them to make the postseason. Speaking of young quarterbacks, Michael, did you see this video of J.J. McCarthy? Yes or no? Just yes or no?
No, I did not see it. No, I did not.
Oh. Well, lucky you, you're going to see it live because it is just a bit outside. Throw it up there, Elliot. All right, this is J.J. McCarthy throwing out a first pitch. Michael, is it?
Oh, my.
That's for somebody who, for a living, throws a ball. This is not a good sign.
No, it's horrendous. I mean, and, you know, he went to go get the runner. But, I mean, look at the whole – he looks like he's pitched before. He's got the whole thing. How did he not practice for this? This is what I want to know. How did he not practice?
I don't know.
How did he not set himself up? I saw – didn't Dallas Turner throw the ball out the same game? He was way over to the right. I know it's hard. Look, I mean, it looks easier than it is when you get up on that mound and you think about, you know, trying to get the ball over the plate and you haven't thrown a baseball in 10 years or something like that. But you think you'd practice a little bit before you went and did it. You know, you think you would do some of that. I think, look, you know, the other thing I want to make going back to David Shaw, I think one of the unsung heroes for the Celtics, and then we transition into this, is Joe Mazzulla's willingness to let Jeff Van Gundy in the building. Right? How many young head coaches who were getting a lot of criticisms about what was going on, you know, about how he handled situations and all that, and all of a sudden here comes Van Gundy into your building and you think, oh, this guy's going to take my job. Well, I think he did a really good job of not letting him take his job, but also listening to him. I think what we all need is we all, no matter how old we get, we need mentors.
And speaking about, you know, the Celtics and Mazzulla, Brad Stevens and the job that he's done to put together that team. I know we talked about a lot earlier this week with the Celtics winning the NBA Finals. But for what's on Michael's mind, which we do each and every day here at the Lombardi Line, I know it surrounds it has to do with team building and specifically Brad Stevens. So what do you got today?
Well, I think, look, we often want to know what's the magic formula. How'd you lose 20 pounds in 2 hours? You know, what do you need to do? And I thought Brad, when he transitioned from being the head coach up into the front office and replacing Danny Ainge, who was a lot of part of this team, but it took a lot of really smart decisions once Ainge left the building. For example, he trades Kemba Walker for Al Horford. Gets Al Horford back. 76ers paid him, but gets him back. He doesn't trade Jaylen Brown in 2021 when most people want him to. He trades Langford for Derek White with Popovich and RJ down in San Antonio. He gets him to come in. He was a huge player for their team, right? Traded Marcus Smart for Porzingis and gets two number one picks to go along with it. Then he re-signs Brown. He trades Brogdon and Williams for Holiday. Right? Gives up the big man inside, and then he signs Porzingis and Holiday to extensions, and then he brings Van Gundy in to help his coach who needed help. I mean, those moves made a huge difference. And I think what he also talks about is, which I think is really important, is we talk about it on the show, but I thought he summed it up really good, is he wants players that are self-critical, that will analyze themselves. They're not trying to have all the answers. They're not self-absorbed, but they're willing to listen, you know, and I think that's really important. And he's done a great job of bringing players in like that. And I think when you look at it, I think it really comes down to, you know, you people say, what's the secret sauce in Boston? Self-awareness, simply that. The players are aware of who they are, their strengths, their weaknesses. They all play the same style. We were sitting here on the show trying to figure out who the MVP was. Is it this guy? Is it that guy? It could have been one of four, right? It could have been one of four because they all play the same game. They're self-aware. There was nobody trying to take over the game. They were just playing within the confines of the game.
And I think, too, of the many things you listed out there that Brad Stevens did to put this team together the way that he has. The moving on from Marcus Smart, who a lot of people thought that was a really bad idea because of the like veteran leadership presence that he provides, defensive player of the year, all these things. But to get Kristaps Porzingis, who, yes, I know wasn't available the majority of the postseason, but he like single-handedly took over that game one and set the tone for that game for Boston in the finals. And then also pairing that with another thing that so many people said, maybe you should separate Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. This thing isn't going to work with the two of them together, and ignoring that noise and sticking with his gut and what he believed was going to work for this team. Like two moves that people really thought were not going to pan out well for this team that are ultimately why, in my mind, they won an NBA Finals and why they have that title in their belt right now. So it's significant for sure.
And the fact he's a former coach, so he understands player development. He understands what it takes. You know, they trade for Jarrett Springer, the kid from the 76ers, who the Sixers drafted in the first round. He still relatively would be one of the youngest players in this draft. That's how young he was. He went to Tennessee. He played 1 year at Tennessee and the 76ers draft him. So he's 17 at Tennessee. He's going to be 19. I was told by somebody in the Celtic organization, he was the youngest player, still the youngest player they had in, even when they were bringing players in for the draft to study it. So they take him. He's a really good defensive player. He's hungry. He's won the, I think he's won the MVP of the G League for the 76ers. He doesn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he doesn't try to play outside his comfort zone. So they're going to take a chance with him, gave up nothing for him. And now they're going to see if they can, if the kid will take to coaching and fit into their system. That's what's called player development. Will it work? We don't know. But they have a plan for it, whereas some teams don't. Let's just sign Paul George, or let's just sign this player. And then 2 years from now, we're still on the same cycle. We can't get off of it. And we're wondering, why can't we get off of it? The 76ers are the perfect Uncle Junior line about the Celtics. They're so far behind the race, they actually think they're in the lead. I mean, they actually think they could have beaten Boston this year. That's how bad they are. And they're going to re-sign some of their guys. They're never going to get any closer to them because Boston has plans. 76ers just go through the process.
Michael, because you talk about teams not having a plan, how odd is it to see the NBA draft coming up next week? And we have three teams that still don't even have a head coach right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. We don't. Now, Detroit says they're going to try to hire a coach, and hopefully they'll hire somebody that I know, and I think that'll be a good move for them if they do that. But, you know, I think a lot of this just tells you, you know, that the front office is going to try to pick a player. And there's no marriage between the player that they pick and what they really are as an identity of the offense or the defense. That's the critical part, you know. And obviously everybody's going to wonder where Bronny's going to go when he didn't make all-conference in high school and he barely played for USC.
How much of the coverage do you think is going to surround around Bronny James? Is he going
obnoxious
to the Lakers?
It'll be noxious.
Yep, it'll be all over the place. We got No Way and No Doubt coming up next. Stay with us here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Next week, we're releasing our VSiN NFL betting guide, your ultimate resource for the football season, jam-packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis. And of course, best bets for the year. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from our regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free when you use our promo code Lombardi. With the VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you an upper hand throughout the year. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time deal. Sign up and save ahead of the NFL season by visiting vsin.com/subscribe now and use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. That's vsin.com/subscribe, code Lombardi.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, let's get into it. Starting in Dallas, whenever Dak Prescott gets a deal done, Michael, whether it be this offseason or if he hits the free agent market next year, no way or no doubt, he will be the first $60 million a year player. What do we think?
Well, that's a hard one. No way. No way. I mean, if Jerry gives him $60 million, you know, Jerry knows he upsets the whole kit and caboodle around him, and I can't see it. I think it's just not going to happen. So I'm going to say no way. No way. They're a stronger one, Stormy, for you. No way.
No way. Do you think, though, follow up, that he gets a deal done this year? Or is it a case where he's not going to answer the phone and he's going to bet on himself this year to hit the free agent market next year?
I think he's going to bet on himself at the free agent markets. And I don't think Jerry's scared of it either. I think, look, if you're the starting quarterback of the Cowboys, do you want to become the starting quarterback of some other team? You know? Right? I mean, think about it. If you're the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, do you want to go then become the starting quarterback in, let's pick a place, Seattle, that might need a quarterback? I'm not saying Seattle would do that. Or do you want to go become the starting quarterback in, another city? I don't know. I mean, I think to me, the Cowboys is still a brand name. You know, do you want to go to Jacksonville? I know they don't need a quarterback. Or Tampa, you know.
Less pressure.
Brady only went to Tampa because obviously – Yeah, well, no, not if you get the money. There's no pressure. Just ask Trevor Lawrence about the pressure. He's already feeling it. They're already asking him about it. So, look, I think it's a challenge for him. He's got to do what's right for Dak. I don't begrudge him at all. But at some point, you can't eat all the rigatoni, as they told Sony Soprano.
All right. Dak tied for 8th on the DraftKings odds board to win league MVP this year at 16-1. How about this? Sticking with contracts, No Way or No Doubt, the two MVP favorites, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, should restructure their contracts to be at the top of the market.
Well, they've always restructured their deals so they lower their cap number. I don't think they're concerned about being at the top of the market. I think they're concerned about winning a title. I think that's the way Mahomes is, and he'll stay that way. Now, look, he doesn't want to be the 50th paid player, and he doesn't want, Baker Mayfield to make him more money than him. However, that being said, I do think he wants to, win. The same thing with Josh Allen. Yeah. And once they do win, it becomes a whole different element. So, what do they care if it's just, let's hypothetically say it's $4 million. Say they're $1 million short of the highest rated guy over 5 years. That's $5 million. They make $5 million doing something else. I don't think they're worried about it. If it's $50 million, now you got a problem. You got to fix that.
Is that not hilarious, though, to an extent, that the players that actually do have the most impact on winning care slightly less about being the highest paid in their contract, and then the guys that have actually shown no evidence of being able to do that are the ones that are like, I need to be the highest paid. I need to be next. I'm going to be next. The market is the market. Yeah. Hey, is what it is. I'm just going to get paid. Yeah. So
well,
I find that fascinating.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think everybody is just always saying to themselves, look, get as much as you can while you can.
Sure. Which I don't slack anybody for.
I don't either, but it just also, it does show you exactly what we're talking about here is what's the most important thing? Sure. What is winning most important, or is getting as much as you can?
Yeah, but I'm also like, I agree with you on that other point that if I'm Trevor Lawrence and somebody's offering me $55 million, yeah, I'm going to take it. I'm not turning it down.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I understand it from that standpoint. Well, this is apparently just all contracts in No Way or No Doubt. Let's go out to San Francisco, where a big talking point has been what is going to happen with star wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who's coming off of a career season. No Way or No Doubt, Ayuk will attend the start of training camp in July.
I think no doubt he will, because here's what I think which really gets misconstrued in offseason, because we have so much time to report on things. The reality of it is when he says the Niners don't want him, it's completely wrong. They want him. They just don't want him at the number he's proposing. It's called a contract negotiation, right? So they don't want him at a certain number. They want him at whatever. They're trying to negotiate with them. Just because they don't want your number doesn't mean they don't want you.
There were 6 quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 12 this year. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. No Way or No Doubt, Michael. More than half of these early first-round quarterbacks will be their team's Week 1 starter. So 4 of those 6, No Way or No Doubt.
I think 3 of the 6. I mean, Penix isn't going to do it, right? We know that. And we know, unless an injury occurs, we know Drake May won't be doing it. So now it comes down to, and we think, no, I'm going to say no way. I think because Darnold's going to be the starter, I don't think J.J. McCarthy and his wild, uncontrollable baseball throw is going to be the starter.
And Kevin O'Connell did tell reporters that Sam Darnold is QB1 headed into camp. But J.J. McCarthy, I'm sure, is trying to put his best foot forward, get an opportunity. There have been some people that have thrown money on him to be the Week 1 starter. I always just come back to, based on what we pay backup quarterbacks, like, I don't think that you're paying Sam Darnold $10 million with most of that guaranteed to come in and sit. Like, you're going to give your young quarterback the opportunity to develop. And people do believe that Darnold, I don't know if it's true or not, but people believe that Sam Darnold, while he was in San Francisco, might have had some witchcraft and wizardry change him a little bit. So we'll see. As we go out to New Orleans, Saints running back Alvin Kamara, his status is a little bit unknown after skipping the final practice of minicamp last week, and his agent did tell NFL Network this was contract related. He's set to make $10.2 million in base salary this season, but just $1 million of it guaranteed. No Way or No Doubt, Kamara deserves a new deal.
Well, there's no doubt he deserves to have the money guaranteed. I think there's a definite trend here that we need to understand. Everybody on the New Orleans Saints in their salary hierarchy has had their paragraph 5 guaranteed except for Kamara. And why is that? Well, because Kamara, they don't want to put any more salary cap debt onto their already high salary cap debt going into next year. Remember, the Saints are the credit card team of the NFL. They've been doing this for 10 years, and they've gotten away with it because the cap keeps going up. So they just keep signing guys. They go in, they guarantee paragraph 5, they lower their base, and they just keep moving along. But this year, they decided not to move along with Kamara, which is surprising. I don't know why that is. Do they feel like they don't want to put more money into a back? I think it's the same thing going on with the Rams and Matthew Stafford. They don't want to have to put more money into a guy who may have a bad elbow. They may not want to put more money into Kamara. He may have an injury that we don't know about that the club feels like, well, he's not going to be around here very long.
Turns 29 next month as well. His rushing yards prop for the season set at 625.5, rushing touchdowns number 4.5, and the Saints, as I referenced earlier, plus 340 in the NFC South. Let's hit one more here quickly. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Lakers should consider hiring Monty Williams, who's just let go from the Pistons for their vacant head coach position.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, look, you got to come in. You got to come in with some clout, right? You got to come in with some credibility. And Monty won coach of the year. I get all that. I could see the Lakers saying, look, we don't have to pay him very much. You know, I mean, depending on his contract, we don't have to pay him. But I would say no, because you just won't have that same credibility in the locker room that you need to have.
Michael, scale of 1 to 10, what's the attractiveness level of the Lakers head coaching job, where it sits in 2024?
Well, if you listen to the media, it's a 10. If you listen to people around the league, it's about a 3 or 4. Think about that. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of problems you can't control.
It says a lot about the state of the franchise that is, you know, one of the more historic and greatest legacies in sport. So interesting for sure. We will see ultimately who ends up getting the head coaching job. J.J. Redick, of course, the name that has been thrown around the most since the whole Dan Hurley debacle has been set to bed. We're going to hit the break when we come back. Excited to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, now college football and NFL analyst. Get some of his thoughts on big picture topics in the sport. Particularly excited to get his thoughts on Oregon joining the Big Ten. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content available at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. And even here in the dog days of summer, you can find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball and the WNBA, as well as Euro soccer and tennis. Plus, right now on the homepage, our own Mike Somich, who joined us earlier in the show, is looking ahead to the NFL season with a starter's guide to creating your own power rankings. Which categories are most important to include first? Mike has the answers right now at vsin.com. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. And speaking of the NFL, who better to join us than former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz on the Progressive Guest Line, Fox Sports and SiriusXM NFL and college football analyst. Also very good on the betting side of things as well. Joins Chris Felica on the Bear Bets podcast. Jeff, how are we doing today? Welcome in.
I am good. I'm hoping to win a Euro wager at some point in the next 48 hours.
Oh, so no. What are we sweating out?
It's not been good. So I do the Bear Bets podcast. Everyone should listen. And, you know, we talked about different group wagers to make. And one of them was Albania to finish last in their group. And it was minus 280. And I don't mind laying a little bit of juice every now and then. Right. I mean, it's a big number. I get it. But they're really terrible. And they were the worst team that and they're like one draw away in 2 days from not finishing last. So I've been racking my brain on how to get out of this bed now for like 24 hours. So we'll see how it goes. You know, that's what you get for sometimes wagering on a sport you don't follow very, very closely. Don't do it. And so that's what I'm worried about right now. I got to get out of this bed somehow.
So you do the Bear Bet podcast with the Bear, Mr. Felica, and of course also the great Will Hill, who's on our show quite a bit. Do you marvel at Will Hill's ability to not only handle scheduling for all the leagues, but also become a general manager for all these teams? Do you just like sit there and marvel at his talent at doing that?
He is a savant, man. The amount of things that he can discuss as far as when it comes to like just wagering and the different sports. I mean, every now and then he sends a spreadsheet for like the wagers for the day. It's impressive. I can't follow along every sport. I just don't have time in my life for that, even though I do like to. I got some baseball wagers today. I mentioned I got a Euro wager here and there. But Will's ability to just do all of it, man, it impresses me a lot. He's always on the ball with all those things. Like the spreadsheet sends over, again, every now and then I get a spreadsheet for the day. And it's like he's got a hand in a little everything, right? Baseball props, WNBA props, soccer stuff. So it's a lot of fun. And we talk about this on the podcast. We have a group chat, me, Bear, Will, and Sammy P. And like we're in it, man. Like we all the bets we talk about on our show, we're making ourselves.
Well, and I'm curious if you guys have talked about this yet or not, but the comeback player of the year, we saw the AP put out a statement and share with all of their writers that they have a little bit of criteria that they are putting toward the comeback player of the year market in the NFL to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led to him missing playing time in the previous season. How big is that for the AP to come out and give that directive for us as bettors to start kind of axing people out of that market that could have been in consideration?
That would have been nice last year when I was holding right? that minus 300 DeMar Hamlin signature.
I'm sure. There we go.
I've always felt the comeback player of the year should be for injury, right? Like I didn't understand why Geno Smith won the award for just coming back from being benched, right? Like that to me is not what a comeback is. You know, Joe Flacco come back from just like being with his kids at home. Like, how's that a comeback? He's a Super Bowl champion, for heaven's sake. Like, it's not like he was a bum and came in and started. So I've always pictured this award. We've seen over the years, you know, Alex Smith, you know, comes to mind. Like all these guys that, you know, that have been hurt before. Joe Burrow a couple years back, right? I mean, look, we can debate how much DeMar Hamlin played last year, which he certainly did not play a lot. But dude died. He was on the field dead. Came back to life. Like, if that's not comeback player of the year award, I don't know what it is. So I think, like, and there's a lot of bias in that award, obviously, towards what happened at the end of the season, which is part of all awards. I get it. But I understand why they made this change, because I'm not saying DeMar Hamlin had to win last year, but, like, Joe Flacco winning for just being old and being signed late in the year is not what comeback player of the year is.
Yeah, but at least we got it cleared up, right, Jeff? I mean, at least we know the ground rules. It's not like the Hall of Fame where we really don't know what a Hall of Famer is. We just kind of, it's arbitrary, or what coach should get in the Hall of Fame. Well, let's just put him in, you know, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl and somebody else did and can't get in. You know how that goes. So at least we have some clarity, which I seem to like. What team this offseason do you think, but below the radar, look, I know everybody's in on the Bears and I know everybody, the Eagles, but what team below the radar has caught your eye that you think the win totals are too low on?
I'm going back down this road again than I maybe did last year, but I think the Panthers are not going to be as bad as they were last year. I mean, they basically can't be. And when you look at what they've done surrounding as best as possible, right? Surrounding Bryce Young with more talent, defensively, they have some pieces. I know they traded away Burns, but I like their coaching staff. I like what their front office is doing to build that team up. Plus, they play in a division that I don't think is really good. And so I think the Panthers, to me, are a team that that I think can be a lot better this season. I thought they'd be good last year, and I was pretty wrong about them. So they come to mind as a team, I think, that when people start doing their future bets, I mean, I don't want to wager on the Falcons to win that division. I just don't.
Shocking.
I never
no, Stormy.
The
why? They're so good. They got the greatest general manager in the history of football and Super Bowl winning Tefantino. They got Rich McKay, Kaiser Soce McKay. I mean, how could you not want them? I mean, they're unbelievable. Who else drafts two quarterbacks? I mean, who would do that? That genius requires betting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I that's also sort of why I'm, like, I just don't want to bet on a team that has a bad process in the draft. like that to me is something that I feel like you never really want to take a stab at, right? Like, oh, I'm going to bet on the team that just sort of had a, there's something steady even after that. It still blows my mind. You're like, oh, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, then we know we've done a good job. Like, no, that what? You wasted a first round pick. What do you mean you did a good job? I've never, the Falcons are the one team, I'm sure everyone has that team where no matter what wager you make, it feels like you're going to lose on the Falcons. So the other team in the NFC, by the way, that I think is, I don't know, under the radar, but I feel like the Commanders have a chance to be just better, right? I mean, if you expect Jaden Daniels to come in and be competent, their offensive line is a little bit of a question mark, but they got weapons defensively. They have pass rushers. Like they have dudes. Like they and Dan Quinn can coach. I mean, we know that his time in Atlanta and what he did in Dallas. I think that the Commanders could be competitive in that tough East division.
Win total for Washington sitting 6.5. The Panthers bet up from 4.5 to 5.5. And I'm with you on Carolina, too. I think that they'll exceed some expectations coming off of what was obviously a brutal year under Frank Reich. You also tweeted, Jeff, I want to talk a little college football with you. You tweeted today, it makes you uncomfortable how much people are liking the alma mater Oregon right now. You said, don't get me wrong, they're legit loaded with talent, but I kind of liked the under the radar vibe over everyone picking them to do something. They are one of the few handful of teams that are odds on numbers to make the college football playoff. They're the second shortest shot in the Big Ten, which obviously has a whole new look to it this year. How do you evaluate the Oregon Ducks in their new landscape of college football this season?
Oh, man, they're really good. My poor heart's been broken too many times over the Ducks. You know, like it's just one of those things where you try to temper expectations, but you have to realize, and someone replied to this, I think it's really true, like the college national champion most years is the favorite or somewhere in the top 3 or 4, right? It's not a sport where we get a surprise. Now, we might get a surprise participant in the title game, Washington, TCU, but we're not often getting a champion outside of those favorites in the heading of the season, because the sport can be boiled down a lot of times to just you have more talent than the opponents, right? And those teams, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, is third in talent right now. I mean, they've been a supremely talented football team, and they built their team this year a little bit different than last year, where they really just needed better secondary pieces to compete against Ohio State for the most part. And they added that. They have 3 legit starting cornerbacks, right? They have, you know, 8, 9, 10 defensive linemen that'll rotate through. They have an experienced offensive line. Dylan Gabriel is really good. They have Evan Stewart from like their team is really good. It's just, you know, I like the feeling of like sneaking up on people. But expectations are good. That means that you have a program that has a max talent. It's a program that needs to take that next step forward, right? And Dan Lanning, I think, is something that is under-discussed but hugely important to college football and to Oregon especially. You know, Dan Lanning, this is his 3rd year as a head coach, period. He wasn't a head coach anywhere else. Like Kalen DeBoer, second year at Washington last year, did a great job. Kalen DeBoer was also a coach at Fresno State. He was also a coach at Sioux Falls. You know, Lincoln Riley, who's another counterpart in the, you know, former Pac-12 who came over from Oklahoma. He was a head coach before. Like, Dan Lanning has not been a head coach before, so he's going to continue to get better as a coach. And so, look, man, I think we're going to be good. I don't know if we win it all, but I think we make a playoff.
We got to hit the break, Jeff, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Okay, it was awesome. Thank you, Jeff.
Oregon +210 to win the Big Ten, and they get Ohio State at home week 6. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are wrapping up this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. And like we always do, the last segment of the day, it is time for our pro tip of the show. Every single show here at VSiN does these each and every day. You can find them at VSiN.com, searchable by show and by sport. But today, Michael, we have Jeff Schwartz, who came on in the last segment, who fully unbeknownst to him, endorsed a storm warning that I had from earlier in the show, which we thought would just make for a good pro tip today, if we want to throw that up there. During the dog days of summer, let's avoid betting just to bet, okay? If you are not somebody who is handicapping baseball or soccer, you're grinding it out through the season, let's be cautious placing a full unit wager just because it's something to bet. Just because a sport is there, Michael, does not mean we have to throw money on it. Believe it or not. I know that's crazy, but we don't have to do it.
No. We're not all Will Hills. We don't have to bet everything. He's good at it. You're not. So accept it. Move on. I agree. You know, and look, let's face it. I think this is the perfect time. We have the betting guide coming out next week.
Yes.
You need to really buy that. Use the promo code Lombardi to sign up for that. You need to take 2 weeks, sit on the beach, read the guide, you know, go through the teams, make sure that you're not wasting money. Even if it's pizza money, don't waste it, right? It's a good pizza. Why would you give up a good pizza for just a ridiculous bet? Think about it, you know, and do your study. Because, look, like what Jeff Schwartz said about Oregon, my son coaches there. Like, I know Oregon. You know, I know some other programs. But you got to really know the programs in college football to understand who can be it. And I thought one of his best lines was that there's a small amount of teams that are truly competing for the title. Look, Michael Penix didn't take anybody by storm last year. It wasn't a surprise. He was good the year before. Washington, look at all the guys that got drafted. Yep. We knew Washington was going to be good. We just didn't know Washington could beat Oregon twice. Mm. Let's be clear. We didn't think that could happen. So you're dealing with a small group of teams that you know. And with this transfer portal and the changes in coaches, it could take a little bit of time for some of these teams that we think, as you mentioned in the storm warning, are going to be able to compete at a high level. They're going to need some time to get situated.
This is the most like transformational change that I can think of in the sport in my lifetime. When you think of the conference realignment and how much shifting there is, the Big 12, the last 2 years with the teams that they have had come in and out of the league, you have the head coaching turnover that we've talked about a lot over the last 2 days. And then to your point, the transfer portal and how much player it's free agency in college football, how much players are just able to leave on a whim essentially because they're available to. And it's just something that in my mind, if you are somebody who is a college football better or you are an NFL better and you're not a baseball better and you're not a Euro soccer better, I did not expect starting our segment with Jeff, bless his heart, love him to death, saying that he's sweating Albania, right? Like that was not the thought that I had when we came into that segment. But this is such a good golden opportunity time of year to get your prep in and to research those rosters. And who knows, you might be going through a schedule and see a look ahead spot or, you know, different things on a schedule you weren't anticipating. And then you can go in your calendar and mark a date out. Hey, be aware of this as we're approaching this week in the schedule. This is the time that you can do those things. So again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. Let's close out the show today looking ahead a little bit ourselves to the NFL. We've had week one lines up for a little over a month now. And with that, we have seen which teams are getting bet. So a few of these, I'm curious if any of these surprise you or not where we're sitting right now. And again, these are lower limits to this point than what we're going to see as we get closer to game time. Things are going to change inevitably between now and training camp, preseason, week one. But a couple of these that we'll throw up on one graphic here first. We got 98% of bets on the Chargers laying 3 against the Raiders. 95% of the bets coming in on the Seattle Seahawks -4.5 at home against Denver. 95% on the Lions laying 3.5 against the Rams in a rematch of that postseason game this past year. And 93% laying a point with the New York Giants against Minnesota. Any of these surprise you, fade or follow some of the high percentage bets here?
Well, I think so we know there's bet limits at this time of the year, okay, because of the uncertainty with teams and injuries and all that. So most of this money is coming from people who handicap for a living. This doesn't make them smarter than us. They just do this for a living, and they want to jump on a number. They could care less about the team. What shocks me is this Charger line. I think this line could go – I think what us have to do as a betting network and giving out advice is what line is going to move. I think even though 95% of the money is coming in on the Lions at 3.5, I think the Rams are going to get action. That line could go down to 3. Mm. I think it's awfully attractive at 3.5 in a game that was decided by 1 point where both teams we know will be healthy in the opener because of the way they practice in the preseason. I would look at lines that potentially could move. I see that Seahawk line at 4.5. I think it's going to depend a lot on what Bo Nix looks like in the preseason. right? Does he look better? Is he playing well? This Giant line could move too, because if the Giants offense looks like they did in minicamp based on what we were talked about, you got some issues here. So I think for us, where can you predict the line movement to go? What could happen? Like the Cardinals, there's 85% of the money on the Cardinals getting 7 against Buffalo. I think that's perception of the Cardinals. They played everybody tough. They're healthy this year. Not that they're going to be better. The uncertainty at wide receiver for Buffalo seems to dominate the airwaves. There's all circumstances that go into it. And remember this, Stormy. Opening day, you've got to look at the coaching and the preparation more than the actual matchup.
That's a great one, though, that you mentioned there with the Cardinals getting 7 in Buffalo, because there is this perception right now that the Cardinals, to your point, last year, they were scrappy. They were in a lot of games. Kyler Murray is going to be healthy from day one of this year versus having to come in midseason last year. And then with Buffalo, hey, this is a team that, can they really do it? You know, they lost a lot of pieces last year. This is going to be such a crunch time type of a season for Sean McDermott. Maybe they're not as good as we think we are. Maybe that window is closing for Buffalo. And it's very, very interesting. Some other ones that are in like the 80 to 88% range here. The Ravens getting 3 at Kansas City in the opener rematch of the AFC Championship game. A lot of people liking Baltimore with the additions that they have made. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 88% of the bets coming in on the Bucs laying 3.5 against Washington as they introduce their new young quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And one more there, 80% on the Philadelphia Eagles -1 against the Packers. That game on a Friday in Brazil. Eagles taking a lot of money there.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, I don't know how to handicap that one. I don't know enough. You got to do some digging here on want to see the Packers in preseason, the whole environment. You know, they've eliminated the green from the uniform because they were afraid, because of all the turf battles and some of the things that go on down in Brazil, that I think they're worried about that for some reason. So I think it's an interesting game. The altitude's not going to be a problem. It's something that the teams can handle. But for me, I look at that Rams-Lions game. I think that's the great one. It's Sunday night. I'm shocked that they're giving you the hook in this game. I don't think it's going to last very long, because I think at the end of the day, these games come down to a field goal. Mm. And I think with Matthew Stafford being healthy, their offensive line, you know, when the Rams are healthy, they're good. They're good. They can go. And the Lions are good too. But I think when you give Sean McVay enough time to prepare, and as the Lions work through some of their secondary things that they have to work through, you know, it could open up a hole.
Very, very interesting. A few of these are. And I also look at that Ravens +3 at Kansas City, just because we've talked a lot about how Kansas City can, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that hangover period. They've had a lot of offseason issues. Maybe they come out a little bit slower. I feel like, especially based on the last couple of years, they've been slower starting, and they close with incredible closing speed and winning games when they have to win them. So maybe early on in the season is a time you're willing to take some underdogs a little bit more. Okay, so we're wrapping up the show here, Michael. What's on the agenda tonight? You got the next couple of days off. Are we hitting karaoke again in the backyard with Bill? What's the word?
No, we're going to all go out. We're going to have a legit, we're going to have a birthday celebration dinner, just the four of us. So we'll enjoy that. That'll be great. Wonderful. And then I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel to the West Coast and spend a little time with my son on Friday. I'm going to travel tomorrow and see him. And then I'll be back on the show on Sunday from his house. And then I'm going to have a speech in Los Angeles. I have a book presentation in San Diego for the next 2 days. So I'll see you next Wednesday when I get back. You're going to enjoy the weekend. You got it made. You got it. Finally got some weekends. You can rest on the couch. You can live a life. I enjoy that.
You know what's funny, really, Michael? Can. So last week, obviously, was my first weekend off. This week, 2 in a row. Who am I? Next week, I'm going to Disneyland with my little sister. So I've only had 2 weeks off, and then I'm going to be back on a plane again anyways. It's like I can't get enough of it. Apparently, I must love travel. No, not so much. But I will bring joy to a 10-year-old child. That is what I will do.
There you go. That's right. That's all that matters. And there's nothing like, look, it's the happiest place on earth. Why wouldn't you want to go?
Yes, exactly. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you, my friend. I'm glad that you had a good happy birthday. Happy birthday as well to Mike Somich, who joined us on the show. It for us. But stick around here on VSiN. Patrick Maher and the Sharp Money Crew are up next. And if you're watching on DraftKings Network, get ready for Pablo Torre Finds Out. Have a great day.